I'm joined on the line by Michael Zemecki, whose new book, Death Sentences, is out now. Michael, how are you today?
Very well, Stuart. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good indeed. Michael, Death Sentences is... I don't know how to quite describe it. It's amazing, and it's a very different book to the books I normally read, but perhaps I should let you describe it because you wrote it.
Well, yes, Stu, it was triggered by an incident in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I live, in 2009, when a young man engaged in a standoff with police for about 4 hours. SWAT team was out. In the process, he shot and killed two officers, and three officers, and wounded two others. He appears to have been motivated by right-wing politics, at least in part. The police had been called because his mother had asked him to ask them to escort him from the home, and he was afraid not only that he would lose a place to live, but that they would take away his gun. So that was the genesis. I should say Pittsburgh prides itself on being one of North America's most livable cities. It's a delightful place to live. I live a few blocks away from conservatory that's maybe one of the greenest buildings in North America. There's park space in the city. Mass transportation is pretty good. It's not Washington, D.C. It's not New York. Certainly not Europe, but it's pretty good. But despite the fact that it's a livable place, we've had a series of spree killings over the last few years. In addition to the one that sparked the book, there was an incident where a young man went into a fitness club and started shooting at women because he couldn't find anyone to date him. We had a lawyer, actually, my profession as well, who began a shooting spree at a synagogue and ended up in an Asian restaurant where he shot and killed several people. We had an African-American man who went out searching for Caucasian people to shoot. So it says something about Pittsburgh, may say something about America as well, but we've certainly had our share of violent incidents. And I think a lot of these, there's a political component, and it's really bringing out the politics, the political subtext that interests me in writing death sentences.
I teach exclusively Chinese students, and they are absolutely both appalled and fascinated by gun culture in America. And I discussed this book with them, and they all said, "How do these people get guns?" It seems that it's a strange thing that America allows people to go out and buy huge arsenals and stock them up. And I'm wondering, is that an inherent thing? It comes through in your book that, you know, gun culture may not be a terribly good thing, but is it an inherent thing?
I wonder. I certainly wonder. Certainly, the political drift has been toward sponsoring gun ownership. Our Supreme Court has really liberalized their interpretation of the Second Amendment. Our political races are run on the issue. I was listening to an NPR piece on Texas, and politicians there are using guns in their ads, just to form a bond with the gun owners that they hope will vote for them. Pennsylvania's not quite as bad as that, but certainly guns are part of our political culture. Not too many years ago, we turned the senator out of office because he was for gun control. So it's certainly the environment.
Yeah, because I grew up in Australia, and we don't have a lot of, well, we have a lot of guns, but we don't have a lot of guns, people shooting each other with guns every day and things, and I just find it strange. But this is not important. What is important is that this is a very good book about guns and people with guns. How hard was it for you to sit down and write about Peter Popovich, especially given that he's a 24-year-old anti-Semitic unemployed glazier, which is a long way removed from you?
Well, there's some tiny little pieces of Peter Popovich that come from me. I did come from a blue-collar background. I worked in a steel mill before I went to college. Grew up around people who revered guns. So it wasn't that difficult to write about. And there are pieces of people I know that have gone into some of the characters that are in the novel. The novel wrote itself pretty quickly. I struggled over my first novel for a period of about 25 years, and this one, which is the third novel I've written, came very, very quickly.
How did you end up at Crime Wave Press?
I saw a notice for submissions, went on the website for Crime Wave Press, liked what I read. I thought this book would be a hard sell because it does have a political subtext, and I think Tom Vader and Crime Wave Press were open to that. And my experience, I have to tell you, with them has just been terrific. Both Tom and Hans, I think, are just wonderful people.
It strikes me as a very, almost a family. Crime Wave Press is just about a very small family of authors, and it's a very loving family. Tom is very, very protective and very keen to get his authors out there, which is why I'm talking to you, because Tom said, "Oh, you must speak to this guy." Okay, Tom. But you're a lawyer, and lawyers do a lot of writing, but they don't normally write fiction. What led you to write fiction?
I've wanted to be a writer since I think I learned to read. And for a good part of my life, actually before I became a lawyer, I made a living as a writer for hire. I wrote advertising copy. I worked as a medical editor for a period of time. Edited some medical publications, external marketing pieces. So it's something I always wanted to do. It's most of the writing that I've done over the course of my career has been to put food on the table. So it was kind of fun to break out and write this book and pursue fiction writing, which is something that I've wanted to do.
Do you do a lot of fiction writing now? Are you working on something else, or is lawyering getting in the way?
It does to some extent, but over the last few years, I've gotten into a much better routine with writing. When I have my own time on the weekends, I get up very early, and I've gotten much more disciplined about it than I was when I was younger. I've got a work in progress right now that I'm about 60 pages into. I'm hoping to move that along. Finished another novel not too long ago. So the last couple of years have been very good for me as far as fiction writing is concerned. And I also took a one-act play that I had produced locally and turned that into a full-length play. So it's been a good couple of years.
Something I ask a lot of authors is reading as important as writing?
I'm an avid reader, but when I'm writing, I'm very careful about what I read. It can get in the way. It creates noise. Particularly if I'm reading something that I really like, it can be an influence and it can interfere with the work in progress.
And I understand you're also a big fan of hats.
That I am. That may have been one of the attractions to Crime Wave Press, because as you know, the logo is of a man wearing a fedora, I believe you asked Gary Anderson about this not too long ago, and the suspicion that both you and Gary had was that the logo is modeled after Tom Vader himself. But like Tom, I like fedoras and have quite a collection.
What's the attraction? Is it that you have no hair under them, or is it just because it's particularly windy in Pittsburgh?
Actually, I have a pretty good head of hair, so it's not that. Just like the hats. I guess the same explanation for liking swing music and jazz. It's the 40s is a period that appeals to me. I think it was a time of some grace. And I think I look good in a hat.
Well, your author photo makes you look good in a hat, but that is why I asked you if you have a lot of hair or not, because it's very hard to tell.
I've been quite fortunate. My father was as bald as a cue ball, but I didn't inherit his gene.
Michael, Death Sentences is out there now, and you've got another novel out, but could you go from attorney at law to author at large?
I would hope. I would hope. I, I'm, I'm 63. I'm getting closer to the end of my work career as a lawyer, and I'd like to get in a situation where I can devote full time to writing. That's the dream. That's the goal.
Have you got anything you'd like to say to aspiring writers? Because I teach writing, and every student I've ever had has come up to me and said, "Can you give me one piece of advice to become a writer?" And I usually say, "Buy a pen." But is there something you would like to say to aspiring writers?
Probably nothing that can top that, but I would tell an aspiring writer to write. I think one learns the craft by doing it, and the more one writes, I think the better one gets at it. I was fortunate to have a number of good mentors when I was younger. I had the good fortune to take some creative writing classes with Martin Russ, probably not real well known, but he wrote a Korean War diary, published some 6 novels, some 7 nonfiction books, and late in his career was fortunate enough to have a book that made the New York Times bestseller list. And Martin encouraged his students to write as much as possible, to try to avoid an academic overlay, and make it simple.
Didn't Martin have a book? Oh, sorry.
Style.
Didn't Martin have a book optioned by Stanley Kubrick?
Yes, he did. It's a wonderful story. He told me that, and I believe it was the book that he wrote about his experiences in Korea, that Kubrick took an option, came in from London to Hollywood, invited Martin to Hollywood. They sat down and had a wonderful lunch. Martin left convinced that he was going to become famous, and Kubrick never exercised the option, and no one else picked it up. So his film career ended and began with that lunch. Began and ended with that lunch.
At least he got lunch.
That's true. That was
the key thing of that.
That's a good story, I think, as well.
Would you like death sentences turned into television or a film?
I certainly wouldn't mind. I certainly wouldn't mind. I don't expect it, but it would be terrific to see something like that happen.
At least you might get lunch out of it, too.
Yes.
Have you thought about writing for television and for movies?
I have not, and it may be my sense that it's just it's a younger person's game, that film writing has been taken over by 20-somethings. When I was younger, I was quite a fan of William Goldman, and he's made the same observation in his book.
Yeah, but 20-somethings don't have 40-something years worth of experience and life experience. I think looking at death sentences, there is a depth to it that a 20-year-old author wouldn't have. There are actually ideas in it which a lot of 20-year-old authors don't actually understand. So I think you should have a wee crack at it. I mean, you've written plays about Stalin. That's not exactly an easy thing to write about the final days of Stalin. So I think if you can write a successful play about that, you could.
That was a novella, which was a lot of fun to write as well. Mm. The play that I turned into a full length was by J. Robert Oppenheimer.
Oh, sorry.
And it kind of grew out a little bit of Pittsburgh as well. And I think there's a lot of Pittsburgh in the stuff that I write. Oppenheimer's wife studied here. She had lived here for a long stretch of time, and there were characters that she knew that she introduced to the physicist that had quite an impact on his career and may have led to his losing his security clearance later in his life. His wife had been she had married a Communist Party member who lived in Youngstown, Ohio, not too far from here. He was a close friend with a Communist Party leader who actually ended up heading the Communist Party of Western Pennsylvania, but ended up in California for quite some time. She introduced him to Oppenheimer, and the AEC went after him for that. So So the play grew out of that, and started with Pittsburgh, but took me to other continents as well, at least in the imaginative sense.
Hmm. Speaking of other continents, I also see that you like traveling outside of America. What's wrong with traveling inside America?
I've done quite a bit of it, at least on this side of the Mississippi. In addition to living in Pittsburgh, I've lived in the South for a while. I've lived in the Midwest. I've traveled to the West Coast, like San Francisco, quite a bit. I'm not enamored of L.A. It's too much of an automobile culture for me. But I do like the States.
Yeah.
I had the good fortune of being able to spend a couple of weeks in Italy last year, and that was just wonderful.
Take me with you. I am currently living in China and watching television programs about other countries and thinking, holiday would be nice.
I would like to travel to China. I've never had the good fortune to be there, and that's very appealing to me. So perhaps someday we can meet.
Well, that would be
on
lovely.
Your turf.
Well, my turf, my very small area of operations anyway. Well, Michael, look, it's been lovely talking to you today, and I've really appreciated you taking time out to talk to us about death sentences. Good luck with the next novel, and thanks very much for today.
It's been a delight, Stuart, and thank you very much.